Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hear this right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
This is your daily sports reminder that the Warriors are likely going to be adding the number one pick in the NBA draft.
They're going to trade it for Giannis. What are you talking about?
They could possibly do that.
Yeah. What is the belief? If the Bucks bow out, well, wait. If there is no playoffs, then I guess they can't bow out. But there was always that thought that was floating around out there that if he had another exit before the finals, that maybe he would force his way out, and that, you know, you could do Wiggins, and the number one pick and maybe something else, and try to go out and bring in Giannis and then pair it with Clay and Draymond and the rest of the crew there. Oh, yeah, that Steph Curry guy.
We have in the news coming up at 4:30, all the latest on Rona. Coming up, we have audio, I think really cool audio, of Bill Withers visiting the USC football team back in the day.
I have not heard this.
You haven't.
I have not.
Well, it's a good thing you're here, because yes, we're going to play it on your show.
I want the audio.
Your show will play it.
I want it.
But first, Bill.
Hold on. I also haven't played the three new drops I got from the first segment of the show.
Ooh, fun.
Rob's licking his ball.
Guy, just put that thing right in my mouth.
It's entering through a hole in your face.
There you go. Yeah.
I like that last one.
Yeah. Hole in the face there.
I'm pretty partial to this one.
Guy, just put that thing right in my mouth.
You say it with so much conviction.
Yeah, it is. And there's a little, like, he wants to, like, do a little grrr at the end. He's got a little Joe Exotic in there what he's got.
I just put that thing right in my mouth.
Got a little gay tiger tamer in there.
I don't know why I got piratey there.
I think it was Deal. Arr. I think it was Deal that was tweeting it out. He had a photo of the Thundercats. He said, you guys are acting like this is the first, this is the first gay lion tamer show that you've ever seen before, and it shows. And he had, like, a Thundercats.
Who are the Thundercats?
You don't remember the Thundercats from growing up?
No.
Oh, shame on you. Boy, that's disappointing. Look up the Thundercats. It was like a cartoon from when we were kids. And it was about a bunch of, half cat, half humans running around in spandex. It was a little out there for its time.
All right. Yeah, I don't really recognize. I mean, I don't know.
Wow. What were you watching when you were a kid?
Well, Sesame Street. Electric Company.
I'm quite disappointed that you weren't
G.I. Joe's.
That you weren't a Thundercat guy. Lino and Panthro and all that. Mumra.
I'm trying to think of what else.
Disney Afternoon, maybe.
Degrassi Junior High.
I think that's a little after a little after your time.
The Saturday morning cartoons. I would like to go back and see Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo was a big one.
Yeah.
That's what I was watching.
But I thought, if you were into, if you were into G.I. Joe and, He-Man and all that, you should have been into Thundercats.
He-Man, I don't remember much of. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was after. I mean, I kind of grew out of that. That was, my kids.
Well, Thundercats was before that.
Okay,
and it was a lot of tiger bulges is what it was. And so the quote that Deal had was, "For a lot of you, this is clearly the first time you watching a show about a violent gay tiger sex cult, and it shows." And then he had the photo of the Thundercats there. and it won the internet for me today.
I wasn't really even into Transformers, were you?
Oh, yeah, I love Transformers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have the little toys?
Oh, yeah, I had Optimus Prime and all that, but I would say my number one was G.I. Joe and He-Man. He-Man when I was really little, and then G.I. Joe. In fact, I still remember to this day going over to Kent Sears' house to play simply because he had the full He-Man collection. He had Castle Grayskull, he had Thundercat, he had all, or Battlecat. He had all the good stuff. And then I had the nerve to go over there, and he wanted to go outside and play football. Hey, Kent, didn't come over here to play football, buddy. Came over here to play He-Man, all right? I can play football in my own backyard. So let's break out Castle Grayskull and let's do this, huh? It's ridiculous.
Hey, I got some numbers on the airline industry and what's going on there, because chances are most of you have not been to an airport in, three, 4 weeks.
How's my Delta stock doing?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't. Well, Boeing was up again today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So
everything else was down, it seemed.
Possible. They got planes going kablooey and they're fine. All right.
Well, I mean, I don't know about fine. I mean, their stock's way down, but they were up today.
Oh, okay. That's good. I don't own any Boeing, but,
Oh, you don't?
No.
Huh.
Maybe I should.
This is according to the Washington Post. On November 5th, there were 37,826 aircraft that were tracked worldwide. Tuesday, there were 26,217. So a 30%... decline in airplanes in air, bro.
That's actually not as bad.
Doesn't feel as bad
as maybe as I thought. Because I saw
Can I give you one more? That this is gonna blow you away.
Sure. Because I saw like a graph, and it was across the Atlantic, and they had like the daily. I don't know what you would call it. The flight patterns, right? And they had all the lines, and they said this is a normal day, and then they had it. You know what today's was that they did like a year ago, and at least from in graph form, it was pretty like it was empty. But if you told me they were down 30%, I'd give you, it's not so bad.
So this one is way worse. So Tuesday, March 30th, 2019. Okay.
Okay.
Do you know when that was?
I do know when that was. Well, I do know when that was.
We almost had another one.
Almost had it.
Damn it.
Got it. The era has become. Anything is possible.
Yeah, you pretty are.
2019, March 30th, okay? TSA screened 2.4 million passengers.
Okay.
Tuesday, March 31, 2020, TSA screened 194,000 passengers.
Oh.
How about that?
Oh, God!
That's a 94% decline year to date.
So the planes are still flying. It's just there's no one on.
No one's on them. They said that most of them. This number also sounds a little conservative, but they said there's 1.1 million flights that will be canceled through June 30th. So really, there's more to come here.
Sure,
but they said flights are running between 20 and 30% full. So 70% of the people aren't there.
Wow, that number is
how about that?
Staggering.
94%.
From 2.4?
2.4 million passengers on March 30th of last year, 194,000 passengers on March 31st of this year.
Now, I will tell you that if you are going to fly, less lines, you can stretch out the ponies.
Super cheap.
Couple seats to myself. Normally when I fly, I always feel bad because I'm crammed next to the person beside me, and now I can stretch out a little bit. I can widespread. I can take a wide stance.
Have you looked at any flights lately, like prices and stuff?
No.
Dude, they're super low.
Well, I bet. I tried getting a refund on our trip, but they don't. They just give you credits. So I guess I've got some money to book, but I don't feel safe booking anything right now. I don't know when this thing's going to be
over.
Well,
you can book it for next year, can't you, or is that too far out?
I don't know. I haven't even attempted, but I did because originally when we had booked, we were going to originally we were going to Cuba, but that was before all this and that got canceled. And then we ended up trying to go to the Bahamas. I thought about trying to cancel and then rebook because I do remember that. I think round trip, we got to the Bahamas. I want to say per person, it was about $600, which at the time I thought was a great deal. I was like $600 and it was no layover or anything, just, through Atlanta, quick little flight down there. And I was like, oh, this is great. And then when this all happened and I looked at that same flight, you could book that flight for like, I want to say it was like 286 with taxes and everything. And I was like, holy crap.
Yeah. I wonder if people.
Less than $300. So what I thought was a great deal at like $590 or whatever had been cut almost in half.
Yeah. I just wonder if people are rebooking things right now and just saving a ton of money.
I don't know.
Right. Like keeping it on the books, but just rebook it.
There is no,
it depends on when it is.
There is no change fees, but they said it's only a one-time thing. So yeah. I don't know. I haven't even looked. I've got like a credit sitting in there in the Delta account, but I haven't even considered. I mean, it's just the last thing on my mind, right? I mean, there's.
Well, and not only that, but they're inundated with calls. Like you're going to have to wait 3 hours on hold. And
well, I don't know about any other airlines, but mine, again, was through Delta. This is my only experience. That's the only flights that I've had to deal with. The online traffic, it said, wait until you're 72 hours out. And I tried doing the, just canceling the flight. It wouldn't even let me cancel it. There was so much traffic online. And it said, there's a representative that you can call. And so I called when we were about a week out because I was like, I don't want to get too close to the date and then not be able to get through and then just miss the flight. So I remember calling and you do the little wait time thing. And it's like, we're experiencing a high volume of calls. Your average wait time is 6 hours. And I went, whoa. And then I called back, I want to say 3 or 4 days later, and the wait time was down to about 3 hours. But once we got into the 72 hour window, then online, I could cancel and do that. But I mean, it was, you know, we were 2-3 days out and I was a little kind of panicked. I was like, well, what happens? Like if I can't get through, the flight leaves, I'm not on it. Do I lose that? But the online,
they hook you up.
Yeah. They,
so
I'm
the
sure
airline,
there's a lot of people that are like that.
The airline industry, well, they have to prioritize because everybody's calling them.
Yeah.
So they're like, if it's not immediate, you're going to have to wait.
Yeah,
and I get that.
6 hours. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to wait for that one. Click.
There are 300 airlines worldwide ish, 300 ish. They will lose $252 billion in revenue. Ooh. That's pretty steep.
Yeah.
And now there is a like $50 billion in relief in that bill that's supposed to help them, but they're expected to lose about $252 billion. And it's really cool. If you look at the aerials, well, cool. I don't know about cool, but I don't know what the term is, but there are aerial photos of all the planes that are parked. Like most of the airlines in the U.S. have just had to park their planes at far-flung airports. Like they're parked in Mobile, Alabama. They're parked at airports in Roswell, New Mexico, in Tulsa, in, I guess, Victoriaville, California, wherever that is.
Really?
They have a bunch of planes parked in Denver. And if you see the aerial photos of it, they've got them all lined up. Like it's massive graveyards of planes. Huh. And they're all working. They just are not working right now because they've canceled all these flights.
You know what they're doing? They're sheltering in place.
They are.
Yeah, the airplanes. Are they social distancing? Are the airplanes 6 feet apart?
No, they're pretty close.
Oh, stupid, man.
They're pretty close. Yeah. The biggest thing, though, is the speed with which this has all happened. Like 2 months. Well, I just traveled in early March with, you know, it wasn't a huge thing. And now all of a sudden it's lockdown. It's crazy how quickly this has occurred to the, not only the restaurant, like everybody's talking about the restaurant industry, but the airline industry, and nobody really feels sorry for the airlines because
it's hard for the
feel like they gouge you right and left. But
it's hard for, you know, Spirit Airlines, screw you. Tell you that right
well,
now.
Well, they at least offer cheap fares.
How's that $6 Sprite now treating you? Nuts to you, Spirit.
So there's the impact on the airline industry. Coming up next, the NFL is going to try to have the draft, aren't they?
The NFL is going to try to have everything. If you, like we talked about Dabo, that's one man's view, but that pretty much is the NFL. They will not be deterred by anything.
That's next. This is The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, somebody texted and said, hey, you want to be those planes are going to be sitting there for several months, you know, idle. Yeah. You want to be the first one to fire one of those up and take it up, take it for a spin, get the cobwebs out?
It's like your lawnmower when it's been sitting all winter that first time you get it out.
Takes forever. Get it fired up, but then it's like.
maybe wait a little bit, right? Gonna let some of that bad gas go through there. You know, kind of see what happens. Hey, you know what, though?
I will say that one thing that I didn't mention about the airlines, we were talking about all the numbers and how they're impacted and how few flights there are. The one thing that this Washington Post article did talk about was how it's actually helping airlines to run leaner and they are decommissioning a lot of old planes that were kind of on their way out anyway, but they were still flying them because, well, they had routes and they were selling seats.
Yeah.
They're now just basically, this is a good time to just send them to the graveyard.
We're good.
So hopefully when we start flying all again soon.
Yeah.
You will notice fewer older model planes.
It is interesting when you get on one of the new planes. Aren't you so happy it's got like the USB plugins and yeah, it's all.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, and then you get in
we
one.
We don't ask for much.
And you get in the older one, you're like, what is this? What?
It's got the ashtray in it.
What is happening here? Well, this is kind of my point that I said earlier. And I mean this, whether you're whether you're a big company like an airline or an individual or whatever, it's an opportunity, right? This sucks, and everyone is eating an S sandwich, right? Unless you're like Arnold Schwarzenegger, he seems to be having a great time. I can't get enough of him, by the way. Him quarantining with the Lulu and his like mini donkey and horse, it's fantastic. But we're all, you know, there's no one that isn't affected by this. And as crappy as it is, there is an opportunity to try to come out the other side better off. So as crappy as this is for the airlines, like you said, maybe something good comes out of this. Maybe you do get, you trim the fat or you learn to work leaner or, you know, the planes get retired that need to be in and kind of forces you to reevaluate things.
So the NFL sent a memo to its teams discussing the draft protocols.
Yeah.
Now the draft, look, there is not one damn thing scheduled in April. Well, like nothing.
Yeah, there is. There's one thing.
I mean, seriously, give me something other than the NFL draft that's on the schedule. Sports or otherwise.
The best part is that...
WrestleMania, I guess, is happening this weekend.
This weekend.
They've already taped it, I guess.
Yeah, it's going to run like they're doing it like a two-parter in front of no fans. They did it at like their performance center or whatever. But Adam Schefter, of all people, finally came out and criticized the NFL for like being tone-deaf. And believe me, Adam Schefter is the last human being on earth that I would think would criticize the NFL. I mean, that guy is a shill of the highest order for the NFL. And even he was like, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, the NFL pays his bills.
Yeah, and the NFL is like...
I mean, he's not employed by the NFL, but I just mean that league is...
Well, and all of the information that he has comes from inside sources, from owners and GMs or whatever. So for him to criticize the NFL for being tone deaf and pushing ahead, that says something. But to the NFL's, I don't know, credit or detriment, whatever, the NFL just isn't blinking. The NFL is like, look, we're holding our draft, we're holding free agency, and we're planning on just, we're going to push through this thing.
So the draft, NFL draft, is scheduled for April 23rd, 24th, and 25th. That's Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, the Saints are set up at a bar. Did you see this?
Brewery.
Yeah, they're just like, we'll set up, because you can't go to the... And they say war rooms are going to be interesting because in some war rooms, it's an S ton of people. You got scouts, you got...
Exactly.
You can't do it. So they said a lot of this is going to be like video conferenced. And so they're asking for more time in between the picks because it's going to be harder to operate with, we're going to be Zoom conferencing.
I mean, I guess if you think about it, I guess you could pull off the draft while still practicing, you know, all the social distancing and... It'd just be up to each team to, you know how you see these media scrums they do now, like where the media is all 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
And people up on stage are all 6 feet apart, isn't it? I guess you could do it, but sure. I just wonder why they're, I don't know.
I think the NFL, unlike everyone else, is saying that this is all off season stuff and their belief is that, or hope, right, is that this is over by the time their season starts, and they do not want to push anything back. They're trying to keep this as normal as possible. And the NFL, you can say that they're tone deaf and that there's more important things going on, and obviously that's correct, that there's more important things. But, you know, the NFL would make the argument of we're a distraction. It gives people something to talk about, and none of what we're doing right now is putting anyone at risk.
That's what I was saying. Like, I guess they could pull it off. Yeah. They're not, nobody's
in the
same city.
It's just making it harder
city.
For the teams.
It's, I guess, but they're still in their war. They're going to have to get together anyway.
Sure. No, I'm saying like from the evaluation process.
Yes, right.
You're not able to do medical checks. I mean,
right.
We're seeing contracts in the NFL that are falling apart. Eli Apples fell apart. Brockers fell apart. We're seeing people fail physicals. It's harder and harder, like Jadeveon Clowney. And, there's this idea that, if you do have someone with health issues, You can't get your hands on him. Tua is another one. They're saying guys that could be second or third round picks but have health issues could take a tumble down the board because you can't get your health experts to look at him. Think about it. Tua could be the number two, three, or four overall pick, right? And he's coming off a major, major injury when you're talking about a hip fracture. And all the NFL could do is they sent one doctor to him. They took an independent doctor, like a hip specialist, sent it to Tua. He looked at him, and then he sent out a report to all 32 NFL teams, and that's all you're going to have to go on if you're risking a top five pick on Tua. Yeah. And so I think that's where a lot of the NFL GMs that were pushing for the draft to get moved back, it wasn't an element of, hey, we want to hold this thing in Vegas and have this grandioso thing. We just want to be able to look at the players. We want to be able to bring guys in and interview them and sit down and face-to-face and do medical checks. And none of that stuff is going to happen. And I think the NFL is saying, well, you all have to abide by the same rules. So you may be taking a risk, but so are the 31 other teams. So nuts to you.
Well, the ratings are going to be astronomical.
Well, it's going to be so strange.
It will be weird, but the ratings will be astronomical.
So are they just going to put like all the,
I guess so, you got to
talking
send
heads on like on a set, or is it going to be live from each person's basement?
I guess you got to have a camera crew. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? But you've got to have a camera crew with each team.
Yeah.
Don't you?
You would think.
Or a camera. I mean, I don't think it takes a crew, but
something.
A guy to set up a shot.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. Well, I'm sure they're working on how they're going to do it because they haven't canceled the draft. They're going to do it.
They're going to do it.
April 23rd, 24th, 25th. The ratings are going to be astronomical because people are starved for sports. We're going to watch it. I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
We watch it anyway, but you know, you're going to be watching it more intently. But it's just
wild that they're going through with it now. In this memo, they said teams could be allowed to use their club facility if it's safe and legally compliant. And if that's the case, teams could decide to use their facility, or they could go to an offsite location, like you said. The Saints are setting up at a brewery.
Yeah, and it's going to vary state to state by how many people can get together, and you know, and do you just limit the number of people in the war room? It's going to be interesting to see. It's certainly going to be a memorable day to see how this gets pulled off, because I'm trying to think of the last time we had something that was like a live sport. And I know that this isn't, I guess this isn't technically sports, but it's
Players Championship was the last thing we had, right?
Yeah. Right. And this is like it's a made for TV event. It's going to be strange.
Yeah.
Other than wrestling. And I don't watch wrestling, but
that's tomorrow.
Yeah. Or is that
Sunday?
I don't know if it's Saturday or Sunday. I think it's actually over both days. I think they're splitting it into two parts. And I'm not a wrestling guy, but I was flipping through. I don't know what their show is. There's like Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, it is two parts.
Yeah, they're splitting into two parts, and I don't know which one's which. Whatever one was like on Monday night, I was flipping through, and I saw it. I saw wrestling, and I was like, oh, they're doing it without any fans. And I think this was 2 weeks ago, and I clicked on it, and it was the damnedest thing to watch wrestling, but with no fans. Because they were still doing the intro music, and like Gronk is dancing and like running down there, and they're cutting promos, and
are they pumping the crowd up trying to get the
yes, like, yes, dude, Gronk.
There's
is,
no one in there.
No, Gronk was seriously like they did the this big announcement for him, and like the guys like yelling, it's Gronk, and they play like this theme music, and he comes out dancing, he's waving his arms, but it's just empty seats. It's the weirdest. It's the weirdest thing. And I think the draft is going to be a little bit like that too. When you announce the number one overall pick and it's Joe Burrow, like normally you get like the crowds, like, you know, either fired up, you get everyone in the crowd with their jerseys and, you know, all the talking heads are on there kind of yelling back and forth at one another. I don't know how it's going to look if it's just like a bunch of split screens, right? You got like what, like Todd McShay in one and Mel Kiper in another, and you know, do you just have everyone, or are you actually bringing people together? I don't know how it's going to look, but it's going to be fascinating.
All right, coming up next, it's time for In the News, your local COVID update. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, I think we have enough material for a college football reach around.
Nice.
That'll be coming up after the Hot 5 at 5 at 5:15.
We haven't had one of those in a while.
No, we haven't. But Mario Cristobal talks about Tyler Shuck It is Tyler, right?
It is.
We also have fun audio of the late, great Bill Withers visiting the USC football team when Pete Carroll was coach.
Yeah, I haven't seen this, although did someone had a great, it was a Patriots, I don't think they named it, I think it said it was a Patriots coach. I think it was Pete Thamel, by the way, had this.
God, that damn Pete Thamel.
He's scooping Nemec.
He's so hot right now.
And then he had this one, like, you know, because ESPN is replaying old classic games. And probably the best college football game I ever saw was the Rose Bowl, Texas USC, and the Vince Young game, right?
That was on last night.
That was on last night. And if you remember, USC was up by 3 or 4, and they had a 4th and 2. And instead of giving the ball to the most dynamic college football player maybe of all time in Reggie Bush, they gave it to Lendell White, didn't make it, right? Mm. Got stuffed. Mm. And then Vince Young did and went down the field, scored. Mm-hmm. Quite possibly the best single game performance I've ever seen in my life, Vince Young. Because that USC team was ridiculous. And Pete Thamel said that one of the Patriots coaches texted him and said, hey, I just saw the 4th and 2 play. And Pete Carroll obviously being the coach of the USC Trojans and the Seattle Seahawks on the goal line of the Super Bowl where they threw the ball and it got intercepted. He said after that play, he texted him and said, no wonder they threw against us because he got stopped on 4th and 2 running the ball.
Wow.
And that is a great troll. That is phenomenal that he thought of that and said, and sent it to a reporter.
So that'll be coming up later. Right now, it is April 3rd, 2020. It's time for the news. I'm your noted newsman. Today is National Chocolate Mousse Day, spelled M-O-U-S-S-E, damn, which I always thought was weird.
I'm not a mousse guy.
I know you're not. It is also Don't Go to Work Unless It's Fun Day, which is a bout of irony in that.
Yeah, a little today. Bit there. I think people like... I wonder how many people actually like working from home and how many people are going crazy right now working from home.
That's a good question. I think that
I've heard both.
That'll be our Monday poll question.
Yeah. Because I think there's plenty of people that were all like, yeah, I'm working from home. And now they're like, God, please get me out of here.
Save me.
Yeah. Well, Cam was in here yesterday. I firmly believe. Because
yeah. But you know what, though? Will Darkins was here. Our big boss, Kim, was here. Like, I feel like, and I just because you and I have to drive to work every day.
Yeah.
To and from work every day. There are more people. There is no question there are more people out these last couple of days than the prior 2.5 weeks.
Well,
there's just no question. Yeah. I just think people.
The roads are certainly busier than
they are. And I think people are just going stir crazy.
Well, I've been doing like the cannonball run to work every day. I've been making it in like 12, 13 minutes, which I probably shouldn't be doing. And I saw that they're putting out more of a police presence now. They're like, all right, this is getting out of control. So I had to kind of mind my P's and Q's. There was a huge wreck today on the Markham Bridge. Had everything shut down. I had to go around it. And that's my point is, how the hell are you getting a wreck when there's no one on the roads? What the hell, people? This would be like the one time we shouldn't have wrecks, but that was like, there's more people out. And now we got crashes.
You think everyone's forgetting how to drive?
Well, here's what's happening.
Either that or they're driving like me. I'm weaving in and out of things.
That's exactly right. They're taking liberties. This is from KATU. Fewer drivers on the roads, but Oregon law enforcement agencies see more people speeding.
Yeah, it's
because like there's nobody on the
road. Look, I can't even help it. The other day I was driving home and I looked down.
Look at
and
Mike
even,
trying to justify speeding.
I am. Look, I'm with
his
Mike.
Lead foot.
I'm not like a huge lead foot, but I looked down the other day and was like, ooh. It's like it's
incredibly easy to go way faster than you expect when there's nobody in front of you.
Yes,
and do you guys take going. Other liberties? Do you guys like?
Oh, dude, I'm all over
running red lights and like. Well, yeah, not, you know what? No
I'm
one's
not
watching.
Running red lights, but I'll tell you what, I am. I have found myself. I was going down the fast lane, and I had that. Why the hell is this person going so slow? And I whipped around him, and then there was probably no signal either. I just went around him, and I looked down. And I was like, yeah, that person's doing 85. I should probably not.
That person is doing 85?
Yeah.
Oh, you're like cannonball running it.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I just.
Oh, God.
Like, I've had to, like, I honestly had to take stock and be like, okay. Like, I realized I had, like, a blow problem or something. I was like, all right, one too many nights.
If
like,
you
I'm
have
waking.
Me saying, oh, God, that's an oh, God.
Situation. I slowed. Today, I actually drove near the speed limit, and I'm trying to be more
near. Yes,
I'm trying to be more aware of my driving because I saw that report where they're like they're putting out like I saw there was a like a line of like motorcycle cops that I'm just lined up just waiting to get people.
I've seen a lot of people pulled over.
Yeah,
I was going, you know, somewhat normal Mike Lynch speeds yesterday, There were two cars that went flying past me on 26. I was like,
was one a white expedition? Was I heading out that direction?
No, no. There were two cars, and I think they were following each other. They must have been going like 95 miles an hour. And I was like, Yeah, not even I do that.
Well, I'm surprised. I would figure that you'd be out there at 110. Mike's like, hey, no one here. It's like the Autobahn. You're just flying.
Portland police said overall they are issuing fewer citations, but the proportion of citations related to speeding is increasing. They say it is not uncommon to see people driving 90 to over 100 miles per hour.
Yeah.
How about that?
Sorry about that. You haven't got caught up in that yet?
Not that fast. Yeah. I generally speed.
Yeah.
But only...
Yeah, Rob likes to throw shade at me, but he's also a lead foot.
Nobody is as big of a lead foot as you, so no, let's Mike, not put me in the same
let's
category.
Let's not say nobody. There are plenty of people.
Dude, no one I know.
I've never seen anything like your aggressive driving. Yes. Now, I do have...
Mike had like a nice car. He's driving around like in an old Nissan Murano. Can you imagine if Mike actually had like a sports car or something with like a lot of power? Good Lord.
You underestimate the power in my 2011 Nissan Murano.
If you see a black blur go flying by you with the Syracuse plates, it's Mike Lynch. It's terrifying.
Well, I like to drive, you know, between 5 and 10 miles over the speed limit.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's a sweet spot where I'm not going to get pulled over.
Sure.
But I still get to go faster than, Subaru guy who's baked.
No,
Prius all the time.
I just know that I have had to take stock and realize that we need to dial it back. And the freedom on the road does not mean that it's anarchy out there. Dial it back, myself included.
Yeah, got to be good. The new numbers from the Institute of Disease Modeling say Oregon has cut down on transmissions and infections of COVID-19 by 50 to 70% thus far, based on its social distancing measures and how people are taking it seriously.
Oh, well,
if you look at the model.
Golf clap.
Yeah, you know, I think that deserves a golf clap.
We're doing good.
If you look at the models, we have definitely helped out our hospital system by how seriously we've taken this so far.
Yes.
And we got a little lucky. You know, some of it's just luck. Catching it before it got really bad in terms of community spread and such. So, that's pretty good news for Oregon. So, got to keep it up.
Tip of the cap.
Got to keep it up. Oregon Live and Willamette Week are going behind a paywall.
Oh, I thought they... Really? I thought people were removing the paywall.
No. Mm. Who's people?
Oh. Oregon Live's going behind a paywall?
Oregon Live announced today they are going behind a paywall, and I believe Willamette Week is right behind them. Oregon Live wants $10 a month.
Ooh.
And it hasn't happened yet, but...
Well, I just seen like some of the national papers.
Don't think that's going to work as well as they think it will.
No. I totally agree with you. Well, I don't think
I just
it
know
is
some of the national papers, and even some of the local ones, were removing the paywall during this period.
For COVID, they did COVID. Say for any coronavirus article or news coverage, you get that free.
Yeah.
And yes, most of them are doing that, but which is why you can read the Washington Post and some New York Times stuff.
Sure, but there's this weird thing where, because I've seen articles written about this, the newspaper industry was struggling anyways. But now, like, readership is through the roof, right? Everyone's going to all these news sites, but there's no advertising, so now they're having to lay people off, and it's like this weird thing that more people than ever need that, but
I know.
It's how do you monetize it?
Well, they're just taking the plunge. You monetize it by charging people for your content. It costs you money to get the content. You got to charge people to consume the content. I totally understand why they think that's a good decision, but I'm with Mike that I don't know how well that's going to work. Although I will say, you know, one of the things in our industry of radio, one of the things that helps us because, you know, on the FM side of things, whatever FM station or genre of music you listen to, Spotify and handhelds and your ability to just dial up your own music without ads really hurts FM radio. Now, yeah. FM radio is still free. It's still really good music out there, good radio stations. But that's a problem that they have to fight. You and I and other people like us on the sports radio side are a little bit different because it's uniquely local, right? Yeah. Like, you can't duplicate this. You can't just pipe this in from Detroit and do local sports. You know what I mean? So at least in radio terms, just some...
harder to replace. It's unique.
Yeah, I don't know what the word is, but there's some solace you take in that. And the same is true with local, like Oregon Live. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll be a
subscriber.
I think that I will be too eventually. I'm going to fight it because I always fight these. I don't know why.
Well, you know we're going to get a shared password for the station probably.
Well,
right?
that's true. I hope so. Again, I think the station should pay for it. But listen, here's my thing. They should. My thing is, and I'm such a hypocrite because I will bet however many times $10 a month on one hand of stupid blackjack, right? Yeah. But I'm unwilling to pay $10 for all the hard work that those guys are out there doing, drumming up business or drumming up stories, you know. But on the local news front, they kind of got you by the balls, right? Yeah. It's like you want your local stuff. Now, I don't think Oregon Live is even the best local site to get your news online, quite frankly.
Most comprehensive one, though.
But yeah, it's the Oregonian. I mean, it's the paper of record. And so it's like, if they go behind a paywall, I mean, you can't duplicate that content. Where else are you going to get that content?
Yeah.
Other than right now, you can go to like TV stations' websites.
Sure.
And some of those are up to date with a lot of the local news. But what if they go behind a paywall? Then it's like, where are you going to get local news that you don't have to pay for?
Well, it's almost like the airline thing, right? It's like, you know, like checked bags. Well, screw you. I'm not paying for checked bags. Well, everyone's doing it. So, yeah, you are going to pay for checked bags.
I just don't check a bag.
Well, see, and everyone tries to find their way around it. But when something becomes universal, and believe me, we're going to get to the point with newspapers and media sites where you're going to have to pay for it because there's just no other way. And eventually it becomes the new norm, right? It's just...
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It's
coming.
It's hard to fight. And I will say you can get enough of your news by avoiding the ones that are pay.
Yep.
But if they're all pay, you can't.
Yep.
The only saving grace, social media. Because all the reporters are still tweeting.
That's right.
And they're still following stories that way.
But if they tweet their links, you click on the link and you still got to pay.
For this job, it's different. But if you're just trying to figure out what's going on out there,
yeah,
you can still have a general idea just from following social media.
Yeah.
Well, 2 years ago, I broke down and I did my first, it might have been three. 2 or 3 years ago, I broke down and did my first, and I still renew it, paywall, which is Pro Football Focus. That was the first one that I had ever done. And I think their content is worth it. I just think they give you stuff that no one else does. So I don't know where you get that. Like, unless you're just someone that is watching literally NFL games, and I mean across the platform, but even if you're doing that, how on earth do you judge who's the third best slot corner in the NFL or what you think of O-line rankings? It's almost an impossible, task to have a full understanding of all the data that they give you. And so that to me is one that I'll gladly pay
for.
The Athletic
what?
Has done real well with the paywall.
Yeah, but Oregon Live is not the Athletic or Pro Football Focus.
No.
Oregon Live, look, the Oregonian sucks. It's just, and there's some good people over there. I don't mean to like disparage people that are working their ass off to get stories and stuff. But look, they've cut like 75% of that thing.
Yep.
And you can tell their content, especially on Oregon Live, some of it is just
it's bad.
Awful.
Yeah.
So is that really worth $10 a month? The answer to most people is hell no. See you later. But at the same time, again, where else are you going
to get,
for what's happening locally?
I will tell you, $10 does seem like, if you would have told me that they were going behind a paywall, I wouldn't have thought it'd be $10.
I know, $10 seems a little
$2.99 a month.
Yeah, the Athletic is what, $3-4 when you get it on special?
The other thing with these paywalls is people, you continue to sign up for these, whether it be how you consume TV or Hulu or Netflix or whatever. These are starting to add up to the point where people have a billion of these and you pay a ton of money every month.
Yeah.
You know, you add another one for $10 and then you go to the Willamette Week and that's another $5 or whatever they're going to charge. And then before you know it,
you do have to.
And so you got to be careful.
Well, and you got to make decisions. Again, you got to make a determination of, can you get that anywhere else, or is it really unique content that's worth paying for?
So anyway, we don't know when it is, but they did say today, Oregon Live, Willamette Week, going behind a paywall. Coming up next, all the latest COVID numbers here locally, 452 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Hot 5-5 coming up here shortly. A college football reach around today. Pretty exciting. But this is in the news for April 3, 2020. Now, 6 new cases of COVID-19 in Clark County. Now 137 up your way.
Still, I feel like...
Boss.
I feel like we're doing a good job. I don't... I mean, everyone I've talked to in the medical industry...
so far.
That they've yet to be swamped, and, you know, it doesn't mean that it's not coming. You know, you keep hearing now, wait till next week, and, you know, they're still preparing, like, this could end up being a crisis situation. But as of right now, I feel like stuff's pretty good in Clark County and in Oregon, for that matter.
73 new cases in Oregon. They announced today one new death, a 71-year-old man who did have underlying health conditions. A big outbreak at a senior facility in southeast Portland over on Stark, a place called Laurelhurst Village. 29 folks over there have it. I think it's 15 residents and 14 staff, or it might be the other way around, but it's about half and half.
And that's still the scary thing when you get these, you know, old folk homes, or you get, you know, care facilities where you've got sick and vulnerable people, and it gets in there and spreads like wildfire. It's absolutely terrifying.
Maybe this is a stupid question, but I feel like we're seeing a ton of news of all these old folks homes that get it going around. How does it keep happening in those places? You would think they would have such strict policies at this point that you would limit it.
You still have care facilities. You still have people bringing in food, and it's impossible to have, like, it's not the biodome.
And they're more vulnerable.
And you're more vulnerable. So, I mean, again, this could be happening around where you're getting these things that spread, but no one's showing symptoms, or it's not, like I said, people are being exposed to it and they're not catching it. So it's just, you've got your most vulnerable. And again, it's close quarters. In fact,
My
mom's getting out of the hospital. Hopefully tomorrow, fingers crossed. And she was supposed to go to a care facility for, you know, let's say a month for some rehab. And we're like, yeah, no. They even told us, like, if you can find in-home care, because you don't want to be obviously in one of these places, because my mom has about every risk factor that you could have for this, because there's more and more stuff that people that are, you know, whether if you're diabetes, or if you're overweight, or you've got, you know, high blood pressure, you know, it's not just, you know, the elderly. It's the fact that you're elderly, or that you've got all these existing health conditions that go along with it. And some of it is stuff that normally we just are like, oh, I've got high blood pressure, oh, I've got, you know, diabetes. But, you know, those are at least from an early standpoint, those are becoming huge, huge factors on who gets really sick and who dies.
May I offer up something else on the senior living tip, yo?
Yeah.
Don't a lot of really young people work in those places, in a sense that they hire a lot of very low wage, entry level
orderlies and cooks
and people cleaning and stuff. And I think that there, I mean, I'm just spitballing. There could be a connection there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the youngs are just going about their business a little more than the olds.
Well, someone in here says,
and so maybe they drag it in there, is what I'm saying.
I'm intrigued by this. Someone says, hey, I work at a care facility, and I'll tell you how easily an administrator. They said, I'll tell you how easily it gets in. Well, please do share with us.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we got some apparently with
it?
Yeah, they
are. I thought he was going to keep going with the information.
Yeah, tell us. Yeah, don't just give us a tease on how it happens. Give us the 411.
You don't have to go to break and tease it. Just tell us.
Somebody asked, why is Clark County so special? Well.
What?
Well, somebody said, do you guys know why COVID cases in Clark County is always one of the first headlines? Why is it so special? Because
it's kind of a suburb of Portland?
Yeah, because it's connected to Portland, but it's still in the, like you said the other day, it's in the Washington numbers, but that's kind of weird because most of the population of Washington is way up north. So Clark County is really more of like, is really more like Portland, even though it's,
I always feel like we really get the short end of the stick so often, because a lot of policies and things that are made are done from obviously up north, and they don't really take into account how it affects the 500,000 people that live down here. And well, actually more if you include, you know, the surrounding areas.
So you got to report on that too.
Yeah,
it's not just Portland.
We're a suburb of Portland. I mean, for heaven's sake, so where I live is a lot closer than a lot of the other suburbs of Portland. I just happen to live across the river.
Oh, by the way, this guy said he wants you to call him, Mike, and he'll explain it to you. Are you going to do that?
You can't text it to
us? He wants me to call him?
He wants you to call him.
Just text it. Just send a text message.
Who's calling, man? Fire off a text. Fire off a fire text.
Come on. Finally, Bill,
you want to pick up this phone that's been used by multiple people today? No, thank you.
Jay Inslee, Washington governor, has extended the state of Washington's stay-at-home order until May 4th. He says more people will die if we stop now. And, of course, it could be extended past May 4th.
Yeah.
But that's the latest. It is 5 o'clock. We've got the Hot 5 at 5 coming up next on The Fam.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news,
you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.